I'm going to read 2 John here, and it's going to be the text for our message today. All of 2 John, when we say all of 2 John, it's like 13 verses. So it's a fairly short letter, but there's very good things in here. I have a manuscript that I'm following. If you have a translation of it, that's awesome. Follow it in Korean. If I go off manuscript, I apologize already. But I'll try not to. Because there are very important things in here. John sends this out to the churches to keep us grounded, to keep us rooted in faith. So let us hear from the word of the Lord, and then we will pray to receive it. The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth, which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. Let us pray. Dear Father, Father of all who confess Christ as Lord, we are here because we have heard the call. We have been gathered in this place by your Holy Spirit to hear your word and to grow in it. Bless us now, Lord, in hearing your word, growing in Christ, and being united to you and to one another in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what we see here is that the true church are people who desperately love Jesus because he is their way, truth, and life. We hear this from the Gospel of John. And so John is constantly talking about love, walking in the truth, and the truth is Jesus himself. First section of what John is saying here is John's joy over children walking in truth. What is truth? In John 18, 37 through 38, Jesus is interviewed by Pilate, and Pilate asks Jesus, what is truth? The danger of our fallen humanity is that we are easily deceived. We can stare truth directly in the face and miss him entirely. Jesus actually answers Pilate's question even before he's tried. In John 14, 6, Jesus says to him, to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Truth, then, is not merely important, but a matter of eternal importance. Not just our truth or my truth, or your truth, but the truth. As God sees and understands the world, Jesus is saying to us that our relationship with God is based on who Jesus is and what Jesus does, where he stands. Jesus stands between all of humanity and the Father in heaven. So from Jesus' point of view, if we will not deal with him, we will never have God. Now, many people claim that their religion, their good life, or simply their wishing brings them peace with God. And yet, one of the reasons the world continues to reject Christ and Christians is because Jesus himself is the truth that we cannot have God without Jesus. John's concern for the church then and now is that we experience the eternal joy of God we were created to live in. The truth of God is that Jesus is the true picture of the Father, given to us that we can not only know God, but live with God. John confirms this again in his gospel in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul confirms this in two different letters, in Colossians 1, verses 15, 19, and 20, saying he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And again, 2 Corinthians, he writes to the Corinthians again in chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The truth of God is that Jesus is the work of God to purify sinful people so that we can live with a holy God. The truth of God is that we do not walk into his kingdom on our own, but in all grace, God must open the door for us. Jesus is the only door God has given us. And it is through believing outside of our opinions into who Jesus actually is and the peace Christ, Jesus actually achieved that we are able to have a place with the Holy God. This truth, this walking in the truth, has life and death importance. And it is the reason for the apostles' joy. Why John has joy over children walking in the truth. Listen to John's joy in verse 4. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. Why does John have this great joy? Because he sees some of the church members walking, right? Purposely living their lives in the truth of Christ. And the command to love one another as Christ loves us. Listen to the first part of John's greeting at the very beginning. To the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. John knows Jesus, the Father's Son, is the true source of our grace, mercy, and peace. In love, God has given Jesus to us for this purpose. If you're even if you're visiting today, I bet you will have heard this truth sometime in your life from John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, Jesus is not merely a gift from the Father, but a gift saving us from death to eternal life with God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So here's the real reason for John's joy. One, Jesus is the pure picture of the Father with all of God's divinity in him. Also, Jesus was given to us as a gift by the Father himself. And Jesus does the Father's work, gives all who believe peace with God and forgiveness of sins through the blood on the cross. The fact that Jesus is the Father's gift to us is how John can love the church with an eternal love. Jesus lives the Father's love. He gives the Father's love to us. And since Jesus now lives forever, the truth of God can live in the church forever. Jesus is how we can love the church with an eternal love. Jesus is the truth of God in the world, giving eternal peace and joy to those who believe. John's despair, however, is over enemies of children walking in the truth. Children walking in the truth have enemies. And there's a description of the Antichrist. Now, John not only has joy for Christ in Christ for the church, he also has despair over those who would try to steal the church's joy by deceiving us about who Jesus is and what he achieves for us. Listen to John describe the threat against our joy in verse 7. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Now, in America, that simply sounds like a pretty rude attack on freedom of belief. We've already acknowledged that many people in America have their own truth, and they live by it. But this is the tension the church lives in throughout time. No matter what the culture is that surrounds the church's joy remains in Christ. John laments that there are people who will try and deceive Christ's people to trade eternal joy for eternal condemnation. The deception of the Antichrist hinges on Jesus coming in the flesh. Why is denying Jesus as coming in the flesh the primary description John uses for Antichrist? Because it is Jesus taking on human flesh in both the crucifixion as the resurrection that gives us eternal hope for forgiveness. In Romans 4, Paul writes, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Paul also writes in chapter 7 of Romans, so my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who has raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you are saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, with Christ Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. 1 Peter chapter 2, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. The Christian hope is not eternal peace because we are only in Christ's death, but in his new life. This kind of deception not only seeks to confuse our understanding of what Jesus achieves on the cross, Antichrist also hoped to confuse the nature of God and God's love. Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love, says the two scariest lies in our culture right now are, you are a good person, and because you are good, God will not punish you. You probably heard these at some time. And the lie is, if we are not really sinful, we don't need a savior. Much less one who takes our sin in human flesh. This is a false gospel. The very nature of God is changed from a holy, self-sacrificing God to a spiritual granduncle who gives us candy when we ask him. The false gospel also tries to confuse the nature of love at its core from self-sacrificing to self-affirming. If we are deceived about what love is, then the Father's gift of the Word made flesh to bear our sins in a cursed death makes no sense. The Apostle John believes it is a horrible thing to deceive someone out of hope and joy in the eternal living Jesus for something of much lesser value. And that is our danger. Our salvation is in a risen Christ, bearing our atonement in a human body, right? An English body, a Korean body, a German body, whatever body. It's human. That's our unity. We are human. And so he bears our atonement in a human body in front of the Father for eternity. If we are led away from Christ, we are only left with God's wrath for our sin. In verse 11, John calls these liars' efforts wicked work. And he warns us that if we do not continue in the teaching of Christ, we lose God altogether. In fact, John has already stated this in his gospel and also in his first letter. John chapter 8, the gospel of John chapter 8, verse 24, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. That's Jesus talking. And in 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, John writes, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So there is a walking in truth that brings apostolic joy. We at Trinity today are not two separate churches. We are one church of God. Like the cloud of witnesses surrounding the throne of heaven, we come from different families, from different nations, from different languages. Our family traditions don't always look the same. And I bet if you even were a visitor here today, you might be able to tell that there's an English-speaking congregation here and a Korean congregation meeting together today. We have one Lord. One faith, one baptism. We are the one body and bride of Christ. Since we are of the same body, we follow the same pattern of preserving faith among deceivers and antichrists in the world today. So there is walking in truth that brings apostolic joy. First and foremost, know God, know your Bible. John writes in verse 9 of 2 John, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. We have the teaching of Christ. Do you have the teaching of Christ? Teaching of Christ? I bet you have it right there. I bet you have it at home. The more we know of what God tells us about himself, what true love is, and how he works in that love for our grace, the closer we grow to Christ. Knowing God by knowing the scriptures. Take the time to memorize them. Meditate on them. Repeat these books to your heart until your soul sings with the grace of Christ. We must also work for understanding and application. Right? I read, what does it mean? This is not easy. Sometimes it's hard to understand what God is saying to us. Sometimes we don't want to hear what God is saying to us. If we give up on the truth of God, the lie of Satan is not far behind. John tells us to watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for. Worked for. That you may be rewarded fully. The Lord wants us to really put our logic to work in glorifying him and anchoring our life in Christ and his commands. God says to Isaiah in chapter 1, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. And Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. We have to put some work into reading and understanding and glorifying God. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. And listen to what Paul writes there in Philippians. I said this, right? God works in us to will and to act according to his good purpose. We wrestle with the meaning. We act on the meaning. And part of that is what? Obeying Jesus. You hear that last part of Philippians, to will and act. God is working in you to obey Jesus. Not so you escape hell, but because he has given you escape from hell. By grace, through faith. John says, and now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So all that we have heard from Jesus about love, about sacrificially washing people's feet, is that too much? No. The world wants to deceive us about what love is so that we do not obey Jesus. But if we stay rooted in the word and we obey Jesus' command to love like he loves, the church will be a glorious annoyance to those running into hell. We will be, as Paul says, the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. In doing this wrestling and acting, right? We run headlong, we obey Jesus, but we also reject false teachers. With our positive obedience stated, we must also turn to our negative obedience. Yay, follow Jesus. Turning away from those who have evil work. It's not just the things we do, but the things we don't do. We don't give common ground to Antichrist. And this is very difficult in our culture, which calls us not to offend and to be nice to all. But as John has already made the case, Antichrists are not merely poor neighbors who throw things in our yard. They are attempting to remove us from eternal life. That is not a polite avoidance. That is war. Listen to John in verses 10 and 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. This takes a lot of discernment on our part. Not only to know what is false, but to be effectively unwelcoming to false teachers. I'm going to go off script for a second. It is primarily because those coming to the church saying, I know Jesus, but he's not the only way. I know Jesus. You don't have to repent. I'm a minister of God. But God is such a loose term. It's the simple fact that we say, not to unbelievers, I don't know God. We evangelize them. It is the ones who say, I know God, and this Jesus alone thing is way too narrow, that we condemn them. And this is not my command. This is from your apostle John. It takes a lot of discernment on our part, not only to know what is false, but how to be effectively unwelcoming to false teachers. We need to be careful that we do not exclude brothers and sisters in Christ who differ in speculations on the end times. But we must also be firm about who our Savior is. Without Christ, we have nothing. With our Christ atoning for us, we will reign with him forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great glory in Jesus. Thank you for the Apostle John clarifying for us what is important and what is of life and of death. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the command to love and you tell us what love is that we might follow. We pray that we might follow in your Spirit and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.